So we're going to be looking at something different that I saw in my daily Bible reading with what I call Bible time. I encourage our family to do as well. And the passage that we're going to be going to is Ecclesiastes chapter 11. And we're going to be looking at somewhat the main theme of Solomon in this book, but we're going to be looking at a particular aspect of it, of how it applies to us who are in our youth. Remembering God in our youth is the lesson today. Looking at particularly chapter 11, verses 9 and 10, and go ahead and read that together. I'm sorry, not together. We'll go ahead and read that before we begin. It says, "Rejoice, O young man, in thy youth, and let thy heart cheer thee in the days of thy youth, and walk in the ways of thine heart and in the sight of thine eyes. But know thou that for all of these things God will bring thee into judgment. Therefore, remove sorrow from thy heart and put away evil from thy flesh, for childhood and youth are vanity." And we're going to be also focusing on the next sentence where he says in chapter 12, verse 1, "Remember now thy creator in the days of thy youth, while the evil days come not, nor the years draw nigh, when thou shalt say, I have no pleasure in them." And so we're going to be looking at this subject of remembering God in our youth. And we understand that there are seasons to life, as Solomon also addresses throughout the book of Ecclesiastes, and that there's generally, we think of three times in our lives, that there's a time when we're young and naive, and during this time, children can be ignorant of their purpose and their duty in this life. And there's also a time when we grow older, and during that time, we become ineffective at our old age, and we become unable to do the Lord's work effectively, and we then lose our opportunity to have the greatest impact on the kingdom of God. At that time, at the twilight of our lives, we lose that opportunity to be effective in God's service. But today, I want to focus on that time between the time of being a child and the time of being elderly, that I want to address those of us who are living in the prime of our lives, who are older children or teenagers or young adults or those who are middle-aged, which I guess I would consider myself. I guess for middle-aged, it's amazing how time flies, which is part of the conversation. I didn't even think about where I would fit. And during these years of the prime of our lives, many people are conditioned into focusing on all that we think that we need to accomplish in this life. I have this strength, I have this energy, I have this money. I need to focus on the things that I need to accomplish in this life, in this world. And we think that we need to learn a trade. We need to take care of our family. We need to please our employers and our customers. And we need to fix our houses, which Sean's been helping me out with lately. And we need to prepare our inheritance for our children. And we have all these needs in this world that we need to take care of in this life. And then there's also the need or the perception of need to relax, that we need to have time. We need to have time for joy, time for happiness, and time to have pleasure in this life. However, Solomon has a different perspective than the way this world is conditioned, that every single one of these concerns that we can have in this life, he says, are vanity. And throughout the book of Ecclesiastes, Solomon lists many other things that we're not going to be looking at today that are vanity in this life under the sun. But toward the end of his book, we begin to get a picture of the only thing that isn't vanity. And we're going to be looking at that. And so we see in verses 9 through 10 here of chapter 11, that instead of focusing on the cares of this life, Solomon wants us to focus on something else. And in this lesson, I want to look at three points, three simple points that Solomon wants us to remember here in this passage. Three points that Solomon wants us to remember. The first point is Solomon wants us to remember to enjoy this life. As I said, there are joys in this life and things that we should enjoy about it. And yes, joy is permitted. In verse 11 here, he says, "Rejoice, O young man, in thy youth, and let thy heart cheer thee in the days of thy youth, and walk in the ways of thine heart, and in the sight of thine eyes." Of course, he's not saying to simply follow your heart into sin. He actually provides a direction for how to do that. But Solomon says to enjoy these things while you can. Because even though you might not realize it yet, this life is short. And it's shorter than you think it's going to be. And this is why Solomon refers to the afterlife as our long home. In verse 5 of chapter 12, he says, "Because man goeth to his long home. Every man goeth to his long home. And the mourners go about the street." That when we die, we go to eternity. It's going to be a lot longer than this short life is going to be, while others are going to be mourning our death for a short time before they move on. And so Solomon points out that we should take what time that we have been given upon this earth to appreciate life, to appreciate what God has given us. And so we should appreciate the bread that we've earned, right? Solomon addresses that throughout the book of Ecclesiastes, to enjoy the fruit of our labor. That we should also appreciate nature, God's creation. That we should also appreciate our families, particularly the life of our youth, the pleasures of this life that we can have with our family, and with our other relationships that we have with others. And so we should enjoy these things now, because life isn't going to be so easy and enjoyable for long. It's going to be a time when it's not going to be easy, not going to be enjoyable. And so Solomon warns that this soon excitement of life that we have in our youth will dim. He actually addresses this in chapter 12, verses 1 through 7. We'll just look through these points briefly. I'm not going to get into an explanation of all the phrases. It's actually an interesting study to understand many times these Old Testament books with their, idioms, and with their Hebraisms. And so it's not always easy to understand exactly what they're referring to, because it's somewhat based on their culture. What to interpret, you know, the part of understanding context and proper interpretation is understanding how the words were used at their time. But I want us to look briefly through this list of these things that will start to happen as we get older. He says, first off, that the pleasures of this life aren't going to be as pleasing. The pleasures won't be as pleasing. And that life will be full of difficulty and pain. And you'll feel like life will be less enjoyable and profitable to yourself. In verse 1, he says, "Remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth, while the evil days come not," before those evil and more painful and detrimental days will come, "nor the years draw nigh when thou shalt say, I have no pleasure in them." Also, we see that the wrinkles will come, that the eyes will become glossy, and your complexion will worsen, and you'll lose your beauty and your handsomeness. Verse 2, he says, "While the sun or the light or the moon or the stars be not darkened." I believe there he's referring to the countenance through to the face. Your body will also no longer be able to heal as well, and the pains and aches will last longer. It says in verse 2, "Nor the clouds return after the rain." Your body also won't be able to retain its posture. You'll become feeble and frail. You'll become weaker and more dependent upon the strength of others. In verse 3, in the day when the keepers of the house shall tremble, referring to the parts of your body, your bones, your muscles, and the strong men shall bow themselves. Also lose your teeth and your eyesight. These things get lost with age. In verse 3, the grinders cease because they are few. So you cease being able to chew your food because of your few teeth. And those that look out the windows be darkened. You also lose your appetite, and your metabolism will slow down, and your digestion will not be as efficient as it once was. In verse 4, and the doors shall be shut in the streets when the sound of the grinding is low. You also have more difficulty sleeping, that you'll sleep lighter, right? Some of us, that's already happening. I've experienced that more and more as the years go by. Sleep lighter and things wake me up more easily. You'll be awoken easier. In verse 4, it says, he shall rise up at the voice of the bird, which I'm not sleeping through as much outside of our window sometimes when those crows come around in our neighborhood. He says also that you'll lose your voice and not be able to speak and sing well. So you won't be able to, you want the voice that you used to have. In verse 4, all the daughters of music shall be brought low. It also says that you won't be able to go up to high places like you used to be able to go up, like going upstairs or because of the fear of falling. And you'll be constantly fearful wherever you go of tripping and falling and getting hurt. In verse 5, it says also when they shall be afraid of that which is high. So not wanting to go up to high places because you'll fall off and get really hurt. And fear shall be in the way. Also, he says that you'll have more difficulty washing and grooming yourself. In verse 5, that the almond tree shall flourish. Also, the lightest of burdens will be too hard to bear. Where he says also in verse 5, the grasshopper shall be a burden. And also he says that you won't be able to enjoy your intimate desires with your spouse anymore. In verse 5, that desire shall fail. And then also, finally, your death is going to feel more intimate, more imminent than it ever has before. You're going to wonder, man, when is that fall going to happen? Or when is that event going to happen where I'm going to be close to death? And it seems like it's constantly coming closer. In verse 5, he says, because that all these things are happening because man goeth to his long home. Man is on his way out the door from the beginning of his life. It's so short. And the mourners go about the street. Or ever the silver cord be loose. They're referring, I believe, to not being able to speak anymore because you're dead. Or the golden bowl be broken, referring to you busting your head when you fall and dying. Or the pitcher be broken at the fountain. They're maybe referring to the heart, the fountain of blood. Or the wheel be broken at the cistern. I think also possibly referring to the heart. Then shall the dust return to the earth as it was. And the spirit shall return unto God who gave it. And so that's what happens toward the end of life. And so we should spend our time focusing on enjoying our youth while we have it. And all the joys and the pleasures and that people are pursuing in this life are fleeting. And they will end before you know it. One day, you'll wake up and wonder, where did your life go? You'll wonder, how did you get so old so fast? And you'll reassess, you'll be forced in your mind. I've noticed this lately. You'll be forced in your mind to reassess your life and question what all of your time has been spent on. How have I been spending my time? It's been going by so fast. And so when you get older, you're going to realize that none of the pleasures of this life have actually provided you lasting joy or lasting comfort or lasting pleasure. And you're going to be startled when you realize that planning toward and preparing toward and solving all of the cares of this life that you're facing won't provide you anything in eternity. All these efforts that you're putting into planning and preparing and solving these problems in this life won't count for anything in eternity. In verses 7 through 8 of Ecclesiastes chapter 12, he says, "Then shall the dust return to the earth as it was, and the spirit shall return unto God who gave it. Vanity of vanity, saith the preacher, all is vanity." And so all these concerns and these cares will soon fade away, along with our bodies and our abilities to enjoy all the things that we could enjoy before. And so you need to be told now, you need to be told before all this happens, to be warned before this happens, so that you can be prepared before it happens to anticipate this slow, this diminishing of our lives and our bodies and our pleasures. We need to understand it's going to slowly dissipate. And so that brings me to my second point. A second point that Solomon wants us to remember is not just that this life is short and we need to enjoy the pleasures of this life, but he says to also at the same time remember the judgment of God. And it's not just about the pleasures. He says in verse 9, "Rejoice, O young man, in thy youth, and let thine heart cheer thee in the days of thy youth, and walk in the ways of thine heart and in the sight of thine eyes, but know that for all these things, God will bring thee into judgment." And so again, we need to remember, this life is not long, especially compared to our long home eternity. Although we can enjoy the pleasures of this life, we are warned not to be covetous, not to be worldly, not to focus on these pleasures and these cares, these concerns of this life. In verse 10, he says, of chapter 11, "Therefore remove sorrow from thine heart and put away evil from thy flesh, for childhood and youth are vanity." It's all vanity. All these pleasures that you're seeking after, these things in life that you think are of great concern, are vanity. And so we have to resist and even flee from, at times, the sin and the evil that tempt us in this life. And we understand this as we study through 1 John chapter 2, verses 15 through 17. It says, "Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life." We defined what those three things were. "But they are not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passeth away faster than you think. Even slowly, when you're not even noticing, and the lust thereof, those pleasures of these that these lusts provide. But he that doeth the will of God abideth forever." And so fulfilling the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of this life will only bring us, he says here, future sorrow. It only brings sorrow. "Therefore remove sorrow from thy heart." And so when we get older, we will understand the vanity of these things more clearly. And then, if we properly understood them now and acted in light of this future realization, we will be thankful that we heeded God's warnings now to not fulfill their lusts. And so we'll also prevent ourselves not just future sorrow, when we get older, when we look back at life, but it'll also prevent us future sorrow when we stand before the Lord at that judgment that's coming for everyone. And although you might be young and you are permitted to enjoy the pleasures of this life, these pleasures must be enjoyed in moderation. We got to remember that God's judgment for sins can come at any moment, that we might die, that we might stand before the Lord immediately, and the time is over, that we can repent, that we can get right with God and please God with our lives. Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verse 14, "For God shall bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil." And so we need to remember, my third point, is not just the coming judgment of God for our sins of enjoying these pleasures too much and causing sin in our hearts and lives, but we also need to remember our duty to our Creator, our responsibility in this life to our Creator, that we're constantly distracted and lured and tempted by the pleasures of this world and the circumstances of this life. And seeking after satisfaction and comfort and the pleasures of sin will cause more than just sin and disobedience, that these distractions can also simply be a waste of time. They become a waste of energy and a waste of money in this life that should be instead spent on the things of God. So it's not just a matter of sin. It's also a matter of a hindrance of our serving the Lord with what we have. It says in verse 1 of chapter 12, remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth while the evil days come not. And so instead of spending our time and energy and money on these vanities, they could be spent on heavenly investments that are guaranteed to be more profitable and more secure. And we have to remember that we won't just be judged for sins of commission, the sins that we commit in this life as we fulfill the lusts of our eyes and of our pleasure, of our flesh, but we also will be judged for sins of omission, not doing the things that we ought to be doing. That we'll be judged for wasting what little time that we have to serve our Creator. And so instead of focusing on just not sinning, right, we want to think, okay, well, then I just will try not to sin. We should instead be focusing on obeying God and doing good works by God's grace. In chapter 12, verses 13 through 14, it says, let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep his commandments. Not just to not sin, but to do what is right. For this is the whole duty of man. For God shall bring into work, bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, not just whether it be evil, but he says whether it be good and whether it be evil. And so we need to also be doing good, not just not doing evil. And so we should be laying up for ourselves treasures in heaven that are more precious than gold and silver and precious stones. And our lives don't need to be vain. And our hands don't need to be empty when we stand before our Lord if we just remember our Creator now. And we won't have to come before him with empty hands. We need to remember to keep sin from hindering our relationship with our Father. We need to remember our need to follow, to fellowship with our Father. We need to remember our duty to obey our Father and to remember to serve our Father. Those are the important things to remember when we need to remember our Creator. I want to read a poem from C.T. Studd that I think somebody referred to the other day at church while we were fellowshipping. He says in this poem, two little lines I heard one day, traveling along life's busy way, bringing conviction to my heart and from my mind would not depart. Only one life will soon be passed. Only what's done for Christ will last. Only one life, yes, only one. Soon will its fleeting hours be done. Then in that day, my Lord to meet and stand before his judgment seat, only one life will soon be passed. Only what's done for Christ will last. Only one life, the still small voice, gently pleads for a better choice, bidding me selfish aims to leave and to God's holy will to cleave. Only one life will soon be passed. Only what's done for Christ will last. Only one life, a few brief years, each with its burdens, hopes, and fears, each with its claims, I must fulfill, living for self or in his will. Only one life will soon be passed. Only what's done for Christ will last. When this bright world would tempt me sore, when Satan would victory score, when self would seek to have its way, then help me, Lord, with joy to say, only one life will soon be passed. Only what's done for Christ will last. Give me, Father, a purpose deep, in joy or in sorrow, thy word to keep. Faithful and true, whatever the strife, pleasing thee in my daily life. Only one life will soon be passed. Only what's done for Christ will last. Oh, let me love with fervor burn. And from the world, now let me turn. Living for thee and thee alone, bringing thee pleasure on thy throne. Only one life will soon be passed. Only what's done for Christ will last. So he says, only one life, yes, only one. Now let me say, thy will be done. And when at last I'll hear the call, I know I'll say, 'twas worth it all. Only one life will soon be passed. Only what's done for Christ will last. And then the last stanza, only one life will soon be passed. Only what's done for Christ will last. And when I am dying, how happy I'll be if the lamp of my life has burned out for thee. Great focus on spending our life for the service of the Lord. And so we need to remember that our Creator created us for a purpose. In verse 7, he says, then shall the dust return to the earth as it was, and the Spirit shall return unto God who gave it. God had a purpose for giving you that Spirit, for giving you that life. And he has plans for our youth right now. He doesn't have plans for us later on in our life. He has plans for you now to accomplish for his will that we can be accomplishing. And we can't wait to serve our Lord until we're old, until we're feeble, until we're ineffective. We need to serve him with the strength of our youth. We need to remember the Lord right now during every day of our youth. Notice he says, in the days of thy youth, in every day, each and every day. And so right now, our energy and our strength, our wits, our fervency in matters, right? We can have such great fervency on different matters that we're concerned about and care about. Our charisma, our fluid and fluctuating lives, and our relationship with others should all be spent for our Creator. They all have a purpose. And it should be spent in service of our Creator. And it's interesting how we always find good excuses to justify our inability to serve the Lord. We think about in times of joy and in times of sorrow. We have excuses to justify our inability to serve the Lord. And during times of famine and during times of plenty, we can make up excuses for both of those. During times of ease and times of difficulty, and during times of work and times of play, during the day at work, during the evening when we're home, on our days off, we think that that's our time to take a break, not from the Lord, that we have excuses for all these different circumstances that we can easily come up with. However, it's during those times that we have the greatest opportunity to praise and to serve and to glorify our Creator, to remember our Creator. And so Solomon here wants us, in closing, Solomon wants us to remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth. Remember him now. Don't think about him later on. Remember, oh, I'll remember him later on when it's convenient. Have you been fooled into thinking that you can live now for yourself and that you can live your life for the Lord later? Are you remembering now your Creator in every day of your life? That we can't just prevent ourselves from storing up evil works in the wrath of God. We can't just not do evil. We also must prepare ourselves to meet the Lord with joy and confidence, storing up good works and storing up the joy and the blessing of our God when we stand before him. That must be our focus in this life, to remember our Lord now. And that was the lesson for this evening.